Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahan, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up, and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach. Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an interview series presented by WFPK, Independent Louisville, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Today, I'm talking with Robert Plant, the golden god, he of Led Zeppelin fame, about his new solo record called Carry Fire. We get into its worldly sounds, themes of immigration, and yes, there's a little bit of talk about Led Zeppelin as well. It's Kyle Meredith with Robert Plant.
Hello, Kyle.
It's good to talk to you.
My pleasure.
And you touring behind a really incredible record with Carry Fire. Once again, you've done this. And from what I get from you, you're a big music buff. You know so much music. And with all of the influence that's come in here, I'm so surprised that that doesn't get in the way. Does that ever get in the way for you of just all the incredible music out there that you know? And when you're writing a song, you're like, no, that's already done before. That's already done before. Because this record's really original. I don't get that from anywhere on it.
No, I can't think about it like that, really. Because there's no strict... There's no strict idiom at all that we're coming from as a band. We just kind of don't even think about it. We play like that anyway. If we played Johnny B. Goode, it would sound like that, or 19th Nervous Breakdown. It's just the personality of the players, the way we do it. is that we're not coming from any particular specific zone of music or influence. It's just a kind of mix of everything that we all individually absorb. It's kind of like it's like being a really cool chef or something, I suppose, or a magician or something, where you can actually, you don't even know that you're leaning towards any. I mean, I've talked to people, they say, I love that North African rhythm stuff that you do. And we always think, that's just part of what we do anyway, because we've been doing it for years and years, so it's just part of the composition of our musical identity, I guess.
With, of course, your past being so tied to rock, but all of these influences being in there, like, how important is that genre to you in this day? You know, rock and roll.
Rock and roll kind of was Jerry Lee and Little Richard and Larry Williams and Fats Domino and, you know, that. What happened in the late 60s, you can't call Big Brother and the Holding Company or Janis Joplin rock and roll. It was something else. And I think that, you know, we followed into the United States following people like Cream and whoever else was around in those days. Herman's Hermits, perhaps? No. But whatever it was, we weren't rock and roll. We were just a band that played some mean stuff, tough, really, really powerful stuff, which was called rock. Mm-hmm. And then when it got into the hands of the misconstrued, it became hard rock. So is somebody going to tell me that, Friends or Battle of Evermore is hard rock? I don't think so, you know. So I find the whole thing, all of it, right the way through from 1968 to now, it's just making music.
But you've got some of those. I mean, obviously, the torchbearers out there. I know that Greta Van Fleet, of course. Have you heard them? Because that's someone with your throat right there.
Is that the guys from Detroit?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's pretty good. He should. There's a job somewhere for him. But how about Zeparella now then? Yeah, Louisville. Yeah. Look out for Zeparella. I mean, if ever I could see them play again, my goodness. What a front man, woman.
Well, what I've really enjoyed about that music and all the music you've done is, like I said, because you mix these genres. I heard you say something the other day in another interview that you always try to make it slightly erotic. And I thought, you are. You're a master of making music slightly erotic, like a gentleman would.
Well, yeah, I'm a gentleman personified, really. I've had my days off. You know, but I'm probably getting. I've seen a lot of summers now, so I got to, you know, I have to tell it the way it is, in a kind of slightly different way to the bare-chested moments. I wouldn't look quite so cool now, but it's all right. It's good. It still works. Everything still works.
With Chrissy, with your newest single, "Bluebird Over the Mountain," you've got Chrissy Hynde joining you. How did she become part of this?
Well, it's a bit like when you get involved in a song, you realize that, okay, the song works the way it was. I was singing the whole thing myself, and it's not a long, I mean, the original rockabilly piece, it's like a 2-minute, 20-second piece, and the whole lot can be said and done, and the stylist gets to the end of the vinyl, and that's the end of it. But we stretched it out and took it into another place, and it needed another voice, and it needed a voice. If the boy was singing to the girl from that era, you know, it might be appropriate to get a great female voice, and really, she really brings the goods home fantastically.
I mean, it's been such a cool sort of turn in your career that these duet partners, I mean, famously, Alison Krauss, and that sort of, you know, sets this new thing in motion.
Yeah.
And with the last record, you had Patty Griffin on there as well. Because I heard, like, the Allison thing, like, was that the moment, like, you went into that not knowing that you could do that, right?
How fantastic was that for me? I can't tell you. And it was also very funny because Allison was very patient and charming. And we were invited to do a tribute to Leadbelly, a big, serious, highbrow moment in an opera house with Harry Belafonte and Clarence Gatemouth Brown and Odetta. And it was a really serious thing going on. So I'd started talking to Alison about, can we do something? We were kind of thrust together by a friend, a mutual friend. So I said, why don't you come along? Let's do a couple of Leadbelly pieces. So we started doing In the Pines. And, black girl, don't lie to me. So I'm singing away, and she's harmonizing with me. And then the next time we did it, I sing it a little bit different. And she said, now, wait a minute. If we're going to sing together, you've got to sing the same thing every time. And I said, oh, I didn't realize that. That's why the Everly Brothers sounded good, because neither of them ever deviated from the part that they got. So she taught me slowly, with my kind of lead vocal kind of approach. She taught me how to yodel. I mean, she taught me how to get it. It was touch and go many times. It was very funny how many times I get it wrong. But in the end, I got into it and I got the groove right, and it sounded like something I'd never done before. And then to carry it on with Patty in the Band of Joy. I mean, Patty Griffin has the voice of an angel, and she has sometimes the delivery of a wild angel. Fantastic to sing alongside. Very, very beautiful voice. I mean, and very emotive songwriter. So those two records were records that I shall be eternally, eternally amazed that I could ever even get my foot in the door to get into that sort of thing. But, it laid the seeds for me to come back to my home country and to open the box and bring the other guy back out again.
Do you find yourself do you have a wish list of voices that you'd like to work with?
Oh, no. These are the people that, I'd like to make another record with Patty maybe. And Alison and I are always talking about raising hell instead of raising sand. And, I got a collection of loads and loads of songs that could be, fooled around with. But I'm really into writing stuff, and the guys I play with are superlative. They're the greatest guys on the planet, and they're very, very good fun, very silly. It's kind of like a school trip when we go on tour. It couldn't be more charming and humorous. So, and to be able to write with these guys and to come out with the songs that we feel very accomplished. I don't see it breaking doors down, but at this particular time in my existence, but for me, it is breaking doors down, because it's telling me that I can actually move through time and still not repeat myself and not end up like some kind of one-trick pony, you know?
Well, I know. I think you've proved that over the years, over and over and over. With that said, I ask this with all due respect, because you've pointed in the opposite direction here, but, it is that 50th anniversary of that one little band that you were in a long time ago. Mm. There has been some allusion to some surprises this year, but as you're working with these people, and the same way I'd pose it with Alison or Patty, would you ever see yourself recording with Paige again?
I believe there's a great sound in Mammoth Caves just down the road from you. It's the deepest underground access for the human spirit in the United States. I spend a lot of time down there. I don't know whether we could get a good acoustic sound down there. No, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't. It's not even within my countenance to imagine it, really.
Mm-hmm. Of course, everybody holds that band so near and dear to their hearts.
Yeah, me too. Nobody more than me. But I don't want to do it a disservice either.
I don't want to say that and pass over what you've done here with Carry Fire, though, because, like I said, I have been in love with it. And there's so many interesting moments on here. I catch myself, of course, centering in on those songs, New World and Carving Up the World Again. Because, with New World, was that about the Syrian refugees? Did I read into that wrong?
Well, it's about everything, everywhere, really. I think it's just as much about Lakota Sioux and the Comanches in Fort Sill, Oklahoma,
I mean, I look at Carving Up the World Again, and you're a world traveler. I know you do it for business and for fun. And don't you just want to shake people in charge? Mm. And make them see the individuals and not the faceless group?
Well, first of all, I'm not in business. I'm in bliss. I've been very fortunate to be able to pursue what I love and still give it my whole attention. And, of course, since I was ever able to be aware of stuff going on, there's always been a story that's appalling. Empires, colonial systems, extortion and taking advantage of people, you know, a bow and arrow against a Gatling gun or whatever it might be, whatever the motive behind it is, whatever their motives are, it's all deplorable. And this is the human kind.
And there's several moments on here when I thought these could be love songs to a relationship as much as they could be a letter to the audience. I got that from the May Queen. I got that from Carrie Fire.
If you were to sit at home and you were writing about everything that you see and you see the intimacies between people and between yourself and your in your world, I'm very fortunate that I have very active time with people, a lot of energy, a lot of, you know, activity between creative people. And then I have a lot of time when there's nothing happening but me and my dog and the Welsh mountains and stuff. So I have time to think, and I carry a book, and I think about the length of time that it takes for people to get tight and how swiftly that can end, or how this happens or that happens, and how it is all around us and all around me and all within me. And so, yeah, once upon a time when I was a kid, I wanted to know about the kind of doo-wop scene and the lyrics of teenage love and stuff like that. You know, those songs were great to sing, Ruby Baby by Dion or the Drifters or Teenage in Love and all that stuff. But, of course, as you get a bit older, you realize it's not all chocolate and roses. So you see how the cookie does crumble. And it's very interesting to try and capture some of those moments, both glorious and inglorious.
Well, you do it well, and I always love hearing the way it comes out too.
Cool.
You know, if you're ever around Mammoth Cave, you know, give us a shout.
Well, I know the Daniel Boone Parkway to get down to Cumberland Gap quite well. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll see you in Louisville soon.
All right. Take care, Robert.
Take it easy. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks again to Mr. Robert Plant for the call. The new record is called Carry Fire. Don't forget to subscribe to Consequence of Sound's YouTube channel to keep up with your favorite artists and interviews. For you podcasters, please head over to iTunes or Podchaser and give us a rating or review, and head over to wfpk.org. That's where I do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.